Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 12th November 2021, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Chris de Sieber, Head of Institutional Investors FX Sales for EMEA. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
So Derek, US inflation seems to be on everyone's mind today. Can you talk about its fallout and the near-term implications for FX?
Yes, definitely back in full focus after the shock inflation print that we had in the US this week. And, you know, the whole supply constraint inflation concerns, like really since April, I would say, when we had the first kind of big chunky inflation figure in the US, the theme has kind of ebbed and flowed, has been really front and focus and sometimes easing off a little bit, but it's definitely, I think, at the front of investors' minds and will probably stay there for the time being. And with some justification, you know, I think it's going to become more and more difficult for the Fed to maintain the level of dovishness that they currently maintain based on the transitory argument on inflation. And what we've been using and publishing in our research is the core inflation, and then we exclude some of the kind of textbook pandemic components, so used cars and trucks, rentals of cars and trucks, airline fares, lodgings away from home, and new cars. So those five components, when we strip those out of core CPI, there was a 0.5 percentage point jump, and the annual rate jumped to 3%, which is the highest in that data series, given the breakdown of that data going back to 1998. So, you know, there was a big underlying jump in inflation as well. And that obviously, I think, is going to force the Fed's hand to some degree. Now, I'm not expecting a dramatic shift. You know, we're still going to go into this kind of taper of QE, but there is going to be risks of a more accelerated pace of tapering. And I think that's what the markets are going to start focusing on as a key risk. And then, of course, that pushes forward the potential timing of the first rate increase. So I think, you know, the front end of the yield curve, in terms of the consequences of that, you know, it's definitely become more unanchored now. It's dropped a little bit today on weaker consumer confidence figures, but we did reach 53 basis points on the 2-year, which is the post-pandemic high. And I think over the short term, that is going to help support the US dollar. If you remember, Chris, in October, you know, we had a big dollar sell-off against the high beta currencies because central bank expectations shifted dramatically in countries like the UK, Australia, Canada, Norway. And the US was lagging behind. Now I think we're seeing a flip of that. You know, the RBA pulled back on what was priced into the market. Of course, the Bank of England didn't hike last week. And, you know, ultimately now it's the turn perhaps of a bit of focus on US short-term rates and the risks to the upside there. And I think a rebalancing of the gap between what's priced in the US and what's priced in the rest of the world, I think that has more to run. And I think in that circumstance, it's certainly supportive for the US dollar over the short term.
And you mentioned the UK. We've got some inflation data out next week. Can you talk about that and possible monetary policy implications?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, the inflation theme will certainly be with us again next week. The consensus in the market is for another big jump in the overall annual rate from 3.1% to 3.9%, and the core going up from 2.9 to 3.1. I think, you know, the market is reasonably well positioned for a rate hike in December from the Bank of England. Now, of course, the guidance that we got from Governor Bailey in October was certainly, we felt, indicative of a rate hike at the November meeting. And of course, they pulled back from that. Now, I think that means they're perhaps a little bit more fearful of some of those supply constraint inflationary pressures undermining real income and therefore hitting consumer confidence and consumer spending. And that means they want to wait a little bit longer before they decide to raise rates. But I think the inflation figures next week, they're well kind of embedded into the updated inflation forecasts from the Bank of England. So I think it's going to change dramatically where markets are priced now, given the fact that the Bank of England showed that they are quite cautious about raising rates, given it was fully priced for them to raise rates last week and they didn't do it. That means, I think, that the market to aggressively start pricing more at this point in time seems a bit unrealistic. So assuming there isn't a huge print well out of consensus, then I think that the fallout in the rates market is probably going to be less, given how close this comes after the surprise decision from the bank not to raise rates.
And what about any FX and rates interaction or correlation? Can you give us your thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, you know, rate spreads, FX correlations, you know, they're a very important key driver of FX performance going forward. And I think, you know, there's good reason, as I was speaking about a moment ago, based on what's happening in the US, for the US dollar to get a bit of support as there's a bit more focus on the potential for the Fed to become a bit more hawkish. But of course, you know, we could be in for a tightening cycle that runs for 3 years. And as I've said before, one of the big differences this time around compared to the last time around is it's going to be a lot more synchronized globally. And that means there's not going to be an obvious divergence trade, but those divergences will swing back and forth. As I said, October, the dollar sold off as the focus was outside of the United States. Now I think the dollar is going to strengthen further as the focus is more on the Fed. And we'll get those, you know, swinging back and forth, but no big major FX trends during this tightening cycle, unlike what happened in 2014, 2015, when the US dollar surged in value. So I think that's important. And then, you know, when you drill down into different currency pairs, you know, there's also going to be, I think, currency pairs where correlations with rate spreads break down. And we've been arguing dollar-yen will be one of those. And there are factors that have helped lift dollar-yen currently outside of the spread move. Inflation moving higher globally tends to weaken the Japanese yen because it helps the prospects of inflation in Japan. Energy price rises tends to weaken the yen for similar reasons. And we think supply constraint problems in the auto sector specifically, which is very important for Japan, has probably left Japanese auto exporters overhedged. And those hedge adjustments, which are yen negative, is also helping to lift dollar yen. But I think as we move forward, you know, the likelihood of inflation starting to become ingrained in Japan is still, we think, a very, very small prospect. And therefore, real yields relative to the other major economies are still going to be relatively attractive in Japan. And with Japan's very substantial current account surplus, we think at these undervalued levels for the Japanese yen, that dollar yen will actually start to correct lower. And that in spite of the Fed moving forward with rate increases.
Moving over to the political arena, Brexit issues seem to be coming back to the forefront. Can you talk a little bit about these and what risks to the downside we may see over the coming weeks?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's something we've covered in our FX Weekly today, and it's starting to get a bit more attention. I wouldn't say it's necessarily driving FX at the moment. And I don't think there's much of a risk premium related to this escalating currently priced. So I think there is scope for the Brexit uncertainty to come back to a greater degree. Now, there's this week, you know, Twitter has been rife with speculation that the UK have nearly effectively decided to trigger Article 16 within the Northern Ireland Protocol, and that could happen potentially early December. I saw an article from Laura Kunzberg at the BBC suggesting next week. So, you know, we're in a period where this could happen potentially at any moment. Once the UK believes the negotiation period has drawn to a conclusion, that's perhaps when they could trigger Article 16. Now, from an FX and markets perspective, it's not just simply do they trigger Article 16 or not, but I think it's to what degree. Now, if it's Article 16 being triggered for a very small specific number of goods, then I think the response from the EU could be relatively contained. But if there's a broader Article 16 trigger incorporating a wide array of goods and then also trying to draw in changing the jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice, those are big, big issues for the European Union. And there would be, I think, a strong response. Simon Coveney, the Irish foreign minister, suggesting, you know, at the end to the trade and cooperation agreement. The ending of the TCA could not be done immediately. We would effectively be going into a one-year negotiation phase. So, you know, 2022 could be back to where we were before, speculation on a no-deal Brexit, and that becoming a reality in 2023. Now, I still think that's a small, small probability, but I think the triggering of Article 16 and certainly some contained what they call rebalancing measures in terms of, you know, increased restrictions on certain goods focused in Northern Ireland, which is what can be done with a one-month notice period. I think all of that playing out in response to a triggering of Article 16 will certainly raise risks of this escalating into something more significant. And I think, you know, it's not really priced. There might be a small degree of risk premium currently being priced into the pound, but I think there's certainly more to go if this does escalate. So watching the timing of the potential triggering of Article 16, I think, over the next couple of weeks is going to be really, really important.
Lastly, as you know, we all follow closely your trade recommendations. Can you discuss your latest suggestions from the weekly?
Yeah, like based on what I just said there a moment ago in regards to the Fed and what we think is now maybe some focus on Fed becoming more hawkish and the unanchoring of short-term rates in the US, we're dollar bullish. So, you know, we've got a short euro-dollar position, which we put on a couple of weeks ago. Our target there is 113. We put the trade on at 116.50. So it's moving in the right direction. And as I said, I think there's more scope for euro-dollar to move to the downside. You know, the ECB is going to remain ultra dovish, I think, and that's not going to change. Also then, we've also got a short sterling versus the Swiss franc. I've just spoken about the negative risks in relation to the pound. The Swiss franc, since the whole supply constraint inflation fears really became elevated, as I said, back in April, the Swiss franc is the top performing G10 currency. So, you know, the Swiss franc as a inflation safe haven type destination, that looks to be one of the reasons behind its strong performance. And with supply constraint and inflation issues likely to remain over the coming months, then it should remain well supported. So those are the two trades we have on at the moment.
Well, thanks for your thoughts, Derek. And thanks everyone for listening. Have a wonderful week ahead.
Thanks, Chris. And yeah, talk again soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.